This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 12th, episode 721, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable host, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me. But I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. And howdy, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. How the heck are you? Did you have a good weekend?
We had a terrific weekend. It was one of those quiet weekends, just playing with the ponies and hanging out at the house here. Hey, did you see on Facebook that my pony developed a new gait? It's brand new to the
I missed that
It's
one.
Brand new to the horse world. Never been done before. Or maybe it's been done before, but it's never been named before. He gave it a name now. You know, my little rescue pony, P.T. Scooter, is named Scooter because he doesn't move very fast. You know, if he moved fast, I would have named him after your horse, Jet, you know? But you know, he's a slow mover, so especially for a Hackney. So the other day, I was feeding him. He's very food motivated, and he has to come from one field to the other. And I just rattled the bucket, and he waddles on over at a slow walk. Well, he was very motivated on Friday. And he actually moved out, and it was the strangest gait I've ever seen. It was trotting in the front and galloping in the back. It was the oddest thing you've ever seen, and he named it a trollop. I named it a trollop, actually. So he trollops. Because it is the funniest
thing.
That's
not bad. You know, we've had horses that have trantered before, but I've never had a horse trollop, so that's very impressive.
Well, now, one of our listeners indicated on our Facebook page that trollop actually means something else if you look at the slang Urban Dictionary, but here we're talking about a horse trollop. It's completely different.
I don't even want to look.
No, you don't.
Don't even want to know. Anything that comes on Urban Dictionary is going to make me blush.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm hard to make blush. So.
It made me blush. So no, he was funny. It was the oddest looking thing you've ever seen. His back end and his front end were all going up and down at weird times. It was just funny. And it's the fastest I've ever seen him move yet. And we have not been able to get him to replicate it. Everybody wants a video. We just haven't been able to get him replicated, so no video yet. We'll keep trying.
Keep trying. Every night at feeding time, make sure you bring the video out there.
That's right.
You got it ready.
So that's what trolloping is, my new horse husband word of the week.
Again, I've only heard of trantering, so this is impressive. I got to see a video.
Very good. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, Mr. Omega Alpha himself, Dr. Chang, is here this morning with another Nutritional Science for Horse People discourse and following a brief yet thoughtful overview of the most recent news stories featuring reckless and or hapless horse people and horses. The Wacky World of Horse Report reports on the most amazing advancement in equestrian dating since the line, "Can I borrow some fly spray?" was first uttered at a schooling show in Upper New York in 1971. Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My daily winning today is a happy birthday out to our friend Smokey Branaman. Smokey's birthday today. And Jennifer, didn't he just record some new tips for you over at Horse Tip Daily?
Yes, we did. We just did some recent tips, and one of his was posted late last week, so there's some recent ones, yeah.
All right, terrific. Well, thank you, Smoke, for continuing to help us out here. And, of course, Smokey is a good friend here of the Horses in the Morning Show, been on several times, brother to Buck Brannaman. So happy birthday to Smokey.
Well, my daily whinny goes out to my next Briar horse. Okay, I don't know if Briar even has one of him in the making, but it's going to go out to my new biggest crush in the horse world, and his name is Wise Dan. I've been following this horse for about a year now, ever since he won, I jumped on the bandwagon when he won Horse of the Year last year. But Wise Dan is this amazing chestnut horse. And he was running in a race this past weekend. I DVR'd it just in case I missed it. I'm named Jaguar. I'm like, turn off the golf. Wise Dan's running. Come on. So we had to switch from the golf for like a minute to get to the 4-star Dave handicap at Saratoga. And we've got the audio for you. So Wise Dan, who, by the way, has won seven or eight straight races. And here he is running in the 4-star Dave yesterday at Saratoga, or Saturday.
And they're off. Sky Ring is sent after the lead, but King Priest has got the best speed. Wise Dan in behind at the rail, making their way for the first turn, and King Priest quickly establishes the front running position out there by two lengths. And Sky Ring tips to the outside as they move into the turn, and that gives Wise Dan a perfect early spot early on, saving ground, and down inside rail, racing in third position. Right alongside him is Leah running along in fourth, then a break of three to Willie Contour and Mr. Commons at the back of the pack. So they turn into the backstretch. The expected front runner is out there. It is King Creesa, the leader by length. Sky Ring runs along in second. And then Wise Dan with the Hall of Fame partner, Johnny Velasquez, third down toward the inside. He's under a light hold. And it's Leah running along in fourth, a break of five to Willie Conker, and Mr. Commons trails the field. The opening quarter went in 24 and one-fifth seconds. The half up in 47 and two. The pace is reasonable enough. The leader remains King Creesa into the fire turn. Wise Dan is pinned down inside two horses. Leah, who's moving on the outside. Leah now moves out to be second. Wise Dan is third, down toward the rail. Now he comes off the inside for a clear shot at the lead. And now the field turns for home. King Creesa in front. And looming in behind is a horse of the year, and he's getting closer with one furlong to go. King Creesa clinging to that lead by a half length, a neck. Now they're on even terms, and now it is Wise Dan who's taking the lead. Wise Dan in front and pulling away as they come down to the finish. The heart of a champion on the wire by a length, Wise Dan and Johnny Velasquez. They win it by a length over King Creesa.
Yeah, he did. And let me tell you that Wise Dan was carrying 129 pounds, the most weight he's ever carried. The next high, he was giving 12 pounds to the next horse. So he was carrying 12 wow. more pounds than any other horse out there. A bunch of them even less than that. So he is just an absolute champion. He is such a stud. He is awesome. And he's my next Briar horse. Now, just to have him, he's my next Briar horse. I need a chestnut. I've got all these bays and black horses. I mean,
now what race were they? Was he running in there? That was at Saratoga, right?
It's at Saratoga, and it's called the 4-Star Dave Handicap. 4-Star Dave is all one word. And I know you're about to ask me what the heck this 4-Star Dave.
I've never heard of it.
Well, I did some research because I didn't know who 4-Star Dave was. Usually, names like that, they're named after other horses. And I was right. 4-Star Dave, check this out. This was a horse that ran at Saratoga and won a race at Saratoga every year from 1987 all the way to 1994.
What?
So he won a race at Saratoga in 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94. 8 years in a row, he won a race at Saratoga. The horse ran 99 times. Four-star
oh
Dave, 99 times, 21 wins, 18 second places, and 16 third places. So he became, they called him the Sultan of Saratoga. He actually, when he was retired, the restaurant that is neighboring to Saratoga actually threw a giant party for him, and he was given an edible key to the city at Saratoga.
I like that.
Yeah.
A big carrot cake.
Exactly. At Saratoga, there's a street named after him called Four Star Dave Way. Apparently, anytime he raced, the place was packed because he was such a huge fan favorite at Saratoga. Now, check this out. Tell me this is not something that... oh, by the way, he actually ran, and I was there in 1997. He ran in the High Hope Steeplechase and finished in second place.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an event for charity. He finished in second place.
That's held at the Kentucky Horse Park, for those that don't know, every year in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a party day out there at the horse park. So he ran 99 races. Now, they were having a New York bred post parade of retired New York bred horses at Belmont. So he was shipped to Belmont Park, and they were going to do a parade in the middle of the day. And he was taken out on the track that morning to just trot, okay? He was just going to trot around the track. And he had a heart attack and died, like, when he was 17 years old. And he was there to do a retirement parade, and he has a heart attack and died. He is one of now only three horses that is buried at Saratoga Racecourse.
Huh.
They took him back to Saratoga and buried him there. In Clare Court. So three horses only are buried there, and Four Star Dave is one of them. They recently renamed the race the Four Star Dave. It used to be called the Daryl Joy Stakes. I guess Daryl Joy was a horse that they don't care about anymore.
Yeah,
so now
right.
It's Four Star Dave.
What an amazing story. Who knew?
Isn't that cool? Just a little Wikipedia research, and you never know what you're going to find out. But what a cool story! And the fact that he was like, okay, I'm going to die on the track. That's where I want to die. And he had a heart attack on October 14th in 2002. Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. So, Wise Dan is now 8 in a row, by the way, I must say. And I think what they've just said is that he's not going to run in the Breeders' Cup, even after all this. So who knows where we'll see Wise Dan next. But back to him, he's an amazing horse, and he gets my daily winning. Boom!
Yeah, as a matter of fact, his owner said that he's getting a lot of crap for saying he's not going to run. And he won the Breeders' Cup last year. He would be defending that. And he's also up for Horse of the Year honors again. So, and the owner basically said, I don't care. I'm doing what's best for the horse, and I don't care about all that. We've won enough awards. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, he has. And by the way, he was like 0.3 seconds off the track record on Saturday. And he holds the track record in the Breeders' Cup. So he actually is the fastest horse ever to run the mile in the Breeders' Cup. So just good for them. They're like, whatever. And actually, everybody was complaining about the 129 pounds he had to carry, which rightfully so, but his owners are like, you know what? We did that to shut all of you up because he is the greatest horse. So he had to carry the 129 pounds to prove how awesome he was. And now leave us alone. We're going to do whatever we want. So I really like the owners. They seem to really do what's best for Wise Dan. And it's showing because he's just so incredibly successful.
Well, there's four other owners that are very happy he's out of the Breeders' Cup, and that's Game On Dude, Orbs, Verrazano's, and Palace Malice's owners are all looking at that opening as something that they can hop right into and maybe have a chance of winning the race.
Yep.
Well, that's an amazing story. Very good. Thanks for bringing that. That was cool. Okay.
There's your history lesson for the day. Maybe I'll do that more often.
Now, let's do this. I'm warning everybody ahead of time, so there's no excuses. You have to be listening to every day of our show. Jennifer, you make sure you put that four-star Dave as a question on Wednesday's wheel, all right? Put that in there.
Got it.
So only people who have listened would know the answer. There.
Got it. Where is Four Star Dave buried? How about that?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, now, you know, speaking of racing, Calvin Burrell entered the Hall of Fame last week after, you know, he said, God, Calvin has won more than 5,000 races. He's 46 years old. His purses have been in excess of $122 million. His career began in 1983. He's won the Derby three times. He also rode 2009 Horse of the Year Rachel Alexandra to victories in the Preakness, Woodward, Haskell, Mother Goose, and Kentucky Oaks. I mean, everybody knows Calvin's name. He's the come from behind on the rail guy. He's so they obviously honored him for his Hall of Fame. He was inducted last week. Very excited about it. His wife was there. And he got so emotional during that, Jamie, and he was crying. He was just weeping that his wife had to step in and finish doing the thank yous because he couldn't continue.
Really?
Yeah, he was very emotional that day. And I have a little bit of an audio that was an interview that was done at the Hall of Fame and a little package that a website put together that I thought was pretty good. Let's take a listen to it. It's about 2 minutes.
But it's all street sense drawing away. Calvin Burrell impressively in Derby 133.
Spectacular upset. Mind that bird.
Calvin Burrell has done it again.
They're coming down to the finish. And it is Super Saber.
Calvin Burrell strikes again.
There's nothing like winning. When you cross the wire first, believe me, because you and that horse did it, you know, no matter what. Good or bad, you did it. You put him in a position to win, which... that's what I'm bred to do. That's what I love to do. And I know I can do it. And there's nothing like winning. And it just makes you feel so good. I know it just hasn't sunk in yet because I've never been here, never did it. You know what I mean? But tomorrow I'll wake up and be crying again for some reason. I don't know why, but I kind of got over it a little bit. And I'm trying to help myself. I get embarrassed a little bit, but it's not embarrassed like my wife says. It's just proud. I'm very proud of myself.
They're off in the Haskell.
The most impressive race, though, was the Haskell when I rode Rachel Alexander. I'll never forget it. From the 8th pole home, I had goosebumps, you know, just thinking, because I had so much heart under me. It was unbelievable. The Haskell, I was beside myself. I never sat on the horse and thought in the race how fast this mare was running that day.
But it's Rachel Alexandra by the 16th pole. She's 6 lengths out in front. Here's a filly for the ages. A Haskell legend, Rachel Alexandra.
He has a lot to be proud of. That race. That was a great race.
He scares me because anytime I'm cheering for a horse. Have you seen his wife, by the way?
Yeah, I have, actually. I was not going to be a male that you would expect and make a comment on that, but go ahead.
The dude married up in the category of look.
In both ways, by the way, both ways.
Yes. First, I'm sorry. You're Calvin Burrell. You have, like, no front teeth. You're 5'1". You're 85 pounds, soaking wet. And your wife is a tall blonde.
Yes.
So, good for you, dude. I'm sure she loves him. I'm sure she does. I'm sure he's a great Cajun, raging Cajun, fun to be around, awesome personality, hilarious. Not the best looking dude I've ever seen.
No. You did it for me. Thank you for being the one to take the emails because I was going to let it go.
Oh, you cannot argue with me on this.
No, I can't.
Send your emails. Tell me that he's a good looking dude. He's hideous. Nice. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. But yeah.
He does what he does very well. That's for sure. Does what he does very well.
Yes, he does.
Well, off of racing here a little bit, we had some stories from over the weekend that we have to cover that were amazing stories that you, after you read it, you go, how did nobody get hurt? And there were a couple of them. First of all, there was, and Jamie, I don't know, we can talk about this a little bit. There was, let me see which show this was. Trying to find which show it was. It was an event over the weekend on a CCI two-star cross country in England. I'm not even sure what show it was. Doesn't really say. So it was one of the events over the weekend. They have a ton of them in England every weekend, a three-day event, and it was a two-star cross country. And you know how it is. You've ridden enough of these courses that the officials are so damn lazy, and they let them get away with this. I'm not sure why. But they let them drive their cars out to the jumps that they're officiating at, the judges and stuff, right?
Okay, yes. And that irritates me to no end that these people are cruising around on the course, because it's hard enough, like when I'm walking my course, to not get run over by a horse, because they're flying by you, especially when a horse is going on a two-star. They're flying by. And this is just a story that I'm surprised we don't hear about it more often. But go ahead and tell everybody what happened.
So the jump judge is driving to jump, I guess. And she decided to drive through one of the lanes as a horse had just come out of a water jump and was cruising to the next jump. And the horse just ran right into the side of this Land Rover. And I don't know if you can see the picture in the show notes, but I mean, dented up the entire side of this Land Rover. The rider went over the car. And believe it or not, it was a 17-hand, 10-year-old gelding. The vets were right there, came out, and apparently the horse is fine. They're going to do some more x-rays and things, but the horse made it. The rider walked away, and the driver of the car is fine, except for one thing.
Except, yes. Which is fantastic.
Apparently some fans saw this happen and were not happy and dragged the driver's ass out of the car and proceeded to be slapping her when the rider got up and had to come over and intervene to protect the lady who was driving the car from the fans. What's a bizarre story.
Unreal. Now, this is amazing because my friend Stephanie was running prelim, I believe, up at Grass Ridge Horse Trials, and she wears a helmet cam every time she rides. And there is a part where she is coming over the hill and has to completely run to the side out of the path that she was riding in because some idiot, probably in a Land Rover, was driving the dang cross country course and almost hit her. And it's on the helmet cam. And then I had another friend who had to, we were screaming at this idiot who was in a white pickup truck on the cross country course at Coconino Horse Trials when a girlfriend of mine was coming down to the water jump and he pulled his truck right in front of it. And she jumped to the point where she had time, thank God she was pulling up. Screams out, "Are you kidding me? Get out of the way!" And everybody's yelling, "Move their truck!" You know, it was that people can get killed. And hopefully this is going to be the catalyst that we need to get these dang cars off of cross country. You know, ride it, wear it, do a golf cart. At least you'll have a little bit better SA, situational awareness, when you're in a golf cart, not a big truck. This is so stupid. It's so irritating.
And you see it at almost every show. I mean, every show pretty much allows them to do it. You know, and I guess 99% of the time it's not a problem. But then they're all volunteers, so they probably don't know where they should be or where they shouldn't be most of the time anyway, you know. And the volunteers...
Well, then they shouldn't be in a car.
Right.
On cross country.
And most of the time they do a great job, but, whew, you know, this was... Can you believe that's one of those stories where... it's one of those stories where you just read it and you go, how could nobody, including the horse, have been hurt in that one? Well, I have another one. Also in England. It's England's weekend. This was a, let me see what town this was in. Jeez, these stories in England don't put a lot of details in them, let me tell you. I don't even know what town it was in. So
we don't even know what it is anyway. Who cares?
That's right.
Some little town.
Yeah, we wouldn't know where it was anyway.
It's the place where the fish palace is. It's the town that has the fish palace.
Well, you know how they do the carriage rides and they do the carriage rides through town. Well, apparently one of them got away, like bolted. And the carriage was going, and it's one of those bigger carriages like you see for the carriage rides, and it bolted, and this is the description. This was a chaotic scene after a runaway horse-drawn carriage careened through a seaside town and crashed into a car. And what you see the picture there? When they say crashed into a car, this thing is totaled. I mean, the car is totaled. Holiday makers ran for cover as the horse bolted before the collision through the 20-year-old driver, woman driver, 30 feet through the air. This driver went 30 feet through the air. This horse and this car hit at a pretty good rate. But the woman, the good car job. Driver, and the horse all walked away uninjured. Can you believe that?
That is, I mean, that car is probably totaled. And how mad would you be in this one? Do we have a listener that's been restoring a carriage?
Yes, we do, actually. And this one had just been restored. It was a 110-year-old carriage that they had just restored themselves. And let me tell you, you see the pictures, that carriage is totaled, too.
It's totaled. And it's apparently a pretty heavy one because it took 8 firemen to get it turned over. 8 firemen. 8 dudes to turn over a 110-year-old carriage. Unbelievable. So sad. And it looks, I mean, that driver must have been going 100 miles an hour. That car is a wreck.
Or the carriage. I'm not sure which. I got a funny, this is the last line, and it's funny in the article, and you can tell where you're reading a story from when you hear this line. Archie Wright, who is working in a nearby chip shop, said something spooked the horse and it bolted. Then the cart flew through the air. It's like, okay. You know, all the driving I did, and I did a ton of driving when I had all my ponies and stuff, and we used to belong to a carriage club, and we drove everywhere. I don't think I've ever had one bolt. I've had them stop and back me into a ditch, but I don't think I've ever had one bolt on me, so I haven't had that scary experience. And it must be, when you're in a city like that, it must be a scary experience when one bolts.
Oh, I can't even imagine. It makes me not want to get on a carriage ever.
That's why Jennifer wouldn't ride with me when I had my last Hackney. She wouldn't go in the cart with me. She said, if you're going to die, you're dying alone. So.
You're going down. You're going down by yourself.
That's right. Well, there's the two amazing stories of, like, how did they get through that one? Amazing stories.
Well, and again, the cross-country one, I mean, the carriage, I can... They hit the carriage, it looks like. So the driver flying 30 feet through the air should not have been okay. And then this cross-country rider, I just love the part of the story where he had to actually pull spectators off of the driver because they were so mad that they were beating this woman to death. Not beating her, but slapping the crap out of her, and she probably deserved it. I mean, I know she did. She hit a horse on cross-country.
Yes.
No cars.
Well, before we get to Dr. Chang, I just want to bring up the story, and I know it's not a happy. It had a semi-happy ending, but it's a sad story all at the same time. But it was 4 horseback riders who were alert and were really on the ball that really helped 16-year-old kidnapped victim Hannah Anderson, and you've heard the story all weekend. She was kidnapped out of Southern California. James DiMaggio was the 40-year-old that they suspect was the one that killed her mother and her little brother, 8-year-old little brother, and then took her on this wild ride up into Idaho. Apparently parked the car, covered it in branches and stuff. You couldn't even see the car. And then took her into the mountains. I mean, real rural Idaho. This is horseback riding, backpacking country. And 4 horseback riders came across them out there, and they actually stopped and talked to them, and they just said, I saw an interview with one of the horseback riders who said it just wasn't right. He was a retired deputy sheriff or something, and he said that just the whole situation wasn't right, that didn't look right, they didn't look like they should be there, all the equipment was brand new. So when they got back to camp, they called the police, the FBI came out in helicopters. They ended up killing the kidnapper, but got her out safely. So good job to, you know, there's some horseback riders that came to the rescue in that case.
God, that is just such a chilling story. I mean, what a psycho. You kidnap somebody from California and drive them off to the woods, and you think you're home free. This poor girl, none of us can even imagine what was going on in her head. But cheers and kudos to the on point horseback riders who were going through there. And just, you know, it's a lesson to us that when you get that feeling, when you have a feeling in your gut, act on it, because it means something.
Well, and here,
always trust your instinct.
Let me give a shout out to Mark John. That was the guy who I was just talking about, one of the riders. He was a former county sheriff and a U.S. Army Ranger. So he was taught to spot things.
Oh. Yeah, he was.
And he said that
that's the wrong guy to come up on in the woods.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, he was probably smart for not engaging DiMaggio himself. And apparently he didn't know at the time who he was. When he got back, he saw the news reports and then put two and two together. So that's when he called the police and they were able to go out and find him. And they were on helicopter and horseback. The police and FBI were on horseback as well to go out and find him. So there, it was because it was that remote an area. So congratulations to everybody involved there. And, you know, sympathies for the rest of the family. This girl's going to have a tough road to hoe from now on. But her dad is expecting her back and was very happy to hear her come back alive. So thanks to some horseback riders for that one. Well, do you want to take Dr. Chang?
I do. It is always my pleasure. Once a month, we get to pick the brain of Dr. Chang, who is the founder of Omega Alpha Equine. And we've got a monthly nutrition report with him. So good morning, Dr. Chang.
Good morning there, Jamie. And I was going to say, that's slim pickings. You know that, eh? Picking the brains.
Not true at all. Not true at all. Now, you've forgotten more about nutrition than any of us have ever learned. So don't be like that. So what are we talking about this month, Dr. Chang?
I think this month we'll talk about blood building and why you want to build the blood and so on, especially for competitive horses, and what is meant by blood building.
Yes, all right. What is meant by blood building?
Well, usually when people say building the blood, what they're actually thinking of is to try and get more red blood cells into the bloodstream. All right? Now, the most natural way of building blood would be to train your horses at high altitude. It's just like how if you have runners, for example, or human athletes, they go train at high altitude. And the rationale for that is that at higher altitude, you need more red blood cells to carry oxygen because the air is thinner. So if you train at high altitudes and then you compete at low altitude, then what happens is that your blood for a short period of time will have more red blood cells. More red blood cells usually means more oxygen carrying capacity, right? Now, most of us, if you own a horse, unless you have a ranch up in Colorado, you know it's very difficult to transport a horse up to high altitudes and train up there, right? So one of the things that some people have done is that, you know, you give your horse something like iron. All right. Now, the problem with iron actually, it builds blood, but it increases hemoglobin production, right? But it doesn't, it's not necessarily increasing red cell production. See,
it constipates you too, Dr. Chang.
People do that. But you can overcome that by increasing your intake of fiber. Now, the nice thing about horses is that most of their diet is fiber, so it's usually not a major problem.
This is coming from a woman who just had a baby, okay? So that's why I know.
And has the doctors told you to put your baby, give your baby some iron yet? Are you on that that product with vitamin D and iron yet?
You know what, Dr. Chang, you haven't invented a prenatal vitamin yet. When Omega Alpha has a prenatal vitamin, I'm on it.
We do have quite a bit of vitamins in our human line, but I was just gonna say, you know, I remember when our kids were that age. The sun rose and set whether Junior had a ball movement or not. But anyway, I shouldn't digress so much.
I think Jamie's going through that now.
Yes.
Me too. Sorry.
And then when you sit down amongst your friends and you're chit-chatting, it's always about whether Junior had a ball movement or not, or the quality of the movement. It is a terrible phase of life.
We'll anyway. Have to talk about this after the show if you can.
That's right. We shouldn't digress that much. Anyway, but getting back to that hemoglobin problem is that the iron alone, there's a lot of products out there that just contain iron. Now, iron, as I said, will increase the body's production of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin is the protein that actually carries oxygen in the red cells. But here's how it works. The hemoglobin has to be packed into the red blood cells, and then the red blood cells float around, and then it picks up oxygen from the lungs and carries it to all the different parts of the body. But the key here is that the hemoglobin has to be packed into red blood cells. Iron does not necessarily instruct the body to form more red blood cells. It increases hemoglobin production. So what happens is that you want something that will actually increase the production of red blood cells than the hemoglobin. There's somewhere for the hemoglobin to be packed into. So that's why we've put together a product called Hemex. And what that will do is that it will increase the body's, it sends signals to the bloodstream, to the bone marrow to say, hey, we need more red blood cells. And it will increase your red blood cell production. However, this product does not work like EPO. EPO is a drug that's a banned substance. The herbal product Hemex, what that will do, it'll increase the red cell production, but it'll only increase it to the high side of normal. It will not put it to the region which is way over normal, right?
So this is why Dr. Chang, Lance Armstrong, did not use Hemex, because
he did not use
really
Hemex. He was using the drug, I think.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
I think because I really don't know what he was using.
Well, the blood transfusions alone were enough. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah,
but he was not using Hemex because Hemex is non-testable. It won't push them over the edge. Who could benefit the most by using this? Racehorses or eventers or Western horses? Who?
Any horse that does a lot of, that will do a lot of cardiovascular. So you have the eventers, you'll have the racehorses, you'll have the standard bred. Even your regular trail riders will probably benefit from that. The reiners will probably benefit from that. The barrel racers will probably benefit from it, because I've seen these barrel racers, the poor horses, they come like a bat out of hell, but they're sprinting for that period of time, and then they do repetitive races during the day, right? So if you have better oxygen carrying capacity, you better your performance. And most people will know the difference between first place and second place, right, can be a fraction of a second, right? So
right.
It doesn't take much to push you into that first place. Everything has to be firing right on the day of competition.
It sounds like this would be a great product, too, for a horse that is at a hunter-jumper show and stands around and goes to work and then comes back out and stands around and then goes to work, just to help keep kind of things level in the bloodstream.
That's right. Hunter-jumpers will do very well with that, because it takes a lot of energy to jump. Right, and again, energy, to produce energy, you need to maximize the oxygen carrying capacity in the blood. So, I mean, lots of different horses can use it for different competitive situations.
Now, Dr. Chang, does it change kind of all of a sudden when this horse has more red blood cells and more oxygen in the blood, does it change their mental state at all? You know, like some horses really need a kind of pick me up, and some horses, like my horse Jet, we just want to calm him down. So is this going to be something that's going to affect his attitude?
No, it doesn't affect the attitude. Just because it increases your red cell count to the upper side of normal, you're not pushing him, to be a hyperactive horse or anything like that, right? You're just basically increasing. It's not affecting the mental state, right? It's just affecting the ability of the horse to do things, because it's increasing the red cell count in the body.
Gotcha. So like when I put Jet on Bioticate, he actually improved his behavior because he was not deficient in one place or another. It actually kind of leveled things out. So maybe this is something that would actually kind of help a horse's attitude, because they're not pulling from other places in their body to try
That's
to
right.
get things there.
That, definitely. It makes a huge difference as far as the performance side goes. So, and as I always say to people, every little bit counts for this, for when you're talking about performance.
Absolutely. Do you have any, I know you guys are amazing sponsors and you sponsor riders. Do you have any sponsored riders that you know use Hemex? Is it Hemex or Hemex?
Hemex. We call it Hemex. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we have quite a number of sponsored riders that do use it. A lot of them in the racehorse world. A lot of them because I do know some of our eventers use them. The names slip me at the moment because we have so many of them. And to be fair, I'm not the one that really looks after what they're using or put together their programs. We have other people who do that. So I'm not intimately aware of what everybody's using, unfortunately.
Gotcha. You don't want to sell anybody out, dime anybody out.
No.
Well, Dr. Chang, where can people find it? Where can they go to find it?
It is in a lot of tax stores. You can get it in tax stores. You know, or if you ever have a problem finding it, you can always call us on our 1-800 number or if you go to our website, we have a list of all the stores that carries our products. And, you know, most of these people, if the tax store doesn't carry that particular product, they will be more than happy to bring it in for you. The reason I say that is because we have approximately 40 different products now. And not every store will carry every single product that we produce, right? Our website is OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
At OmegaAlphaEquine.com, that's right. And I got to tell you, I'm always so proud because you guys have been with us for so long. Thank you, by the way. We just had our five-year anniversary here last week. Yeah, we just crossed 5 years. The Stable Scoop show first came out, and I wanted to thank you in person for being part of that for a very long time. You've been with us for a long time, and we certainly appreciate that, and we appreciate all the support that you've given, and we hope that a lot of our listeners have benefited from your products. I know we certainly have. So thank you so much.
Well, it has been our pleasure.
And I wanted to ask you, are you going to ADA this weekend?
I probably won't be there just because I have other commitments, but I do know our company is going to be there. We have Tina Bardfield and Claire Smith going to be at the booth for sure.
All right, so we'll catch up
with
them.
So you'll probably run into them there.
Great, terrific. Well, we're sorry you're not going to be there. I always enjoy going out to dinner with you while you're here.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure when we go.
Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. We appreciate you once again stopping by for this monthly look at nutrition.
Take care. Thank you.
They have truly been around. They started actually advertising with us before this show started over on the Stable Scoop show for a long time. And then when we started here, they moved to Mondays on here. And they've been here since day one, I think. Right, Jamie? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely since they've been every Monday. Since our show started.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break for our song. We have a great segment coming up that I'm so looking forward to because I get to pick on Jamie a little bit about this. Instead of Leslie from Horse Nation today, we have a special guest, one of the authors of one of the articles. We have Lauren Netherly is going to be with us, and she wrote an article, Select Your Mate Like You Select Your OTTB. So we're going to be covering the 10 points she goes over there to see if Jamie passes or fails any of these when she was selecting her husband. So we're going to find out about that. But first, a fun little song I haven't played in a long time. This is I Hear the Trailer Coming. It's off of the A Tougher Horse CD by Jeff Dawson. This is just a lot of fun.
I'm going to tell you all a story about a cowboy named Joe. You see, he couldn't get out of bed without a stub in his toe. He was big and clumsy and unorthodox, all right, and I never seen him straddle any horse that it didn't end up in a fight. Well, I got to thinking, it's a wonder old Joe ain't dead, because if Johnny Cash would have known old Joe, he'd have wrote this song instead.
Well, I hear that trailer coming. It's coming up the road. Well, I ain't got my horse caught, and I'm betting he won't load. Lord, this cowboy work is starting. It ain't that fun for me. As I try to catch old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, I went into the horse corral and he bit me on the arm. I cried just like a baby as he loped around the barn. Lord, the teeth marks are stinging. They're swelling up, you see. As I try to catch old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, I grab my favorite lariat and I run him in the shed. I chuck my favorite Houlihan, I rope a two-year-old instead. Lord, my gloves are smoking. I'm just a dragging along. As I try to catch old Cherokee, everything I do is wrong. Well, the boys holler, we're not waiting, can't you saddle that old hide? Just as I pull my cinch up, he cow kicked me in the side. Lord, I hope my day gets better. They're all laughing at me as I try to load old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, there's probably rich folks ranching on some horses that are swell. But if they had to ride old Cherokee, they wouldn't like it near as well. Lord, I hope my day gets better. He starts to bucking with me as I try to ride old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Here we go. Well, old Cherokee don't quit bucking till he gets me on the ground. As I hit and roll, I'm hoping all the cattle go around. Lord, I hope my day gets better. Ain't wanting trampled, you see. Here we go. Well, I guess I'll sell old Cherokee. He's done a torturing me. So long, Cherokee.
Well, that was Jeff Dawson with his I Hear the Trailer Coming. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Jamie Jennings, and of course, Coach Jen is producing today, and as you heard, we're brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, Jamie, were you here when we talked about the story about how much it costs if you ever get bit by a snake? The hospital bill expense? Were you here for that? It might have been when you were out.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to remind everybody, just don't do it. Don't get bit by a snake. No matter what you do, just don't even get close to him. We had the story before, this poor woman, I forget where she was from. It might have been Ocala, if I remember right. And her bill had gotten up to $450,000 because she took a lot of venom, a big snake, rattlesnake, and she ended up, the venom is hugely expensive. And her bill was just out of this world. And she still was in the hospital after a month. Well, this poor woman that I just read about is 18 years old, Julie Weiss. She's a former emergency medical technician. Actually, she was older than that. She was 22. And she lived in Maryland. And she was bitten by a copperhead snake while hiking at an overlook. She said she thought it was a bad bee sting, and she looked down and she turned on the light and she saw there were two fang marks in her foot, so she never really actually saw the snake. Within an hour, her foot had swelled twice the size and it started turning blue, so she drove herself over to the hospital. Doctors injected her with 4 bags of anti-venom over the course of 18 hours. She left the hospital, went home, and everything was okay until she got the bill, which apparently nobody at the hospital or everybody at the hospital failed to mention, was going to be $55,000.
Good God.
18 hours. And she doesn't have health insurance. So she's now responsible for $55,000 bill. And she apparently the hospital, you know, because the reporter contacted the hospital and they said, well, the anti-venom cost us $40,000. Apparently it's like $10,000 a dose. Now, I love this part of the story. Weiss is having a financial counselor at the hospital to help her with her payment plan. Okay, she's 22 years old and she owes 55. What payment plan is going to cover that?
That's crazy. Now, there was a story here in Arizona that was kind of the same thing. They were bit by a woman was bit by a rattlesnake, and it was nobody told her she had like 4 doses of anti-venom, and they're $50,000 a piece or something crazy like that. So she had like $200,000 in bills. And it was pointed out, and this is kind of how she figured it out and was able to kind of get out of it, was if you go down to Mexico, you can buy that antivenom for like $150.
A little profit margin, like, you're saying? There's a profit margin in antivenom?
Little bit of a profit margin. You can get it for like $150 down to Mexico. If she'd have driven herself down to Mexico, she would have had like a $600 bill as opposed to the $200,000 bill. And I think how they worked out was they like pointed it out. It was on the news and the hospital was getting a lot of crap about it. So maybe that's the angle they need to take. But holy cow.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
I thought it was a little weird when we read the first story that it cost that much. And they say, well, it's because you have to milk the snakes and everything. Yeah, but I mean, if it's that lucrative, there's got to be a lot of people out there doing it. So it just seems like a way to really, you know, run up the bill. I don't know.
Yeah, I just Googled that. It happened in almost every city. A Metro Atlanta woman, CBS Atlanta has it, where it cost her an arm and a leg financially, not through the snake bite, but it was $150,000 for her for the additional medication and anti-venom. That's crazy.
I thought it was expensive to have Lyme disease when I was really sick. That ain't nothing compared to this. Nothing.
No, but make sure you have to have insurance, people, especially those of us listening to this show, because if you're listening to the show, you ride horses. And if you do not have insurance and you ride horses, you are clearly an idiot because you need it.
There's a lot that don't because it's so darn expensive, but I don't know.
The reason it's so expensive is when you're in the hospital and they say, here's the anti-venom. We need to give it to you or you're going to die at $60,000. What are you going to say?
Yeah, exactly. Deal with the bill later.
I don't want to have that in it.
Hey, another thing, too. I don't know if you noticed that one of our listeners posted, I think it was Mel from Australia, actually, that Dan James has a problem with his horses. He was doing a show, I think, in Michigan. And you know how he brings, we've had Dan on the show before, and he does an act, a Liberty Act and things where he brings 4 of his horses or 5 of his horses in, and he Roman rides them and stuff. Well, he was doing this show up there and apparently got a bad batch of hay that had a toxic weed in it and made his horses sick. Well, one of them got so sick that they had to bring him to the hospital, and they think he has laminitis. They're going to be doing some additional tests. According to Dan's Saturday post, they're going to be just doing some additional tests to see if it is laminitis. But he's at the hospital, and apparently, because Dan, you know how he trains his horses, anybody that's seen his act, apparently the horse will lay down on cue, providing one of the best patients that this hospital has ever seen. So that pays.
That's awesome.
I know. Pays to have a well-trained horse when he's in the hospital, but they think he's going to make it. They're not sure whether he'll ever perform again or anything. And the other horses have started to improve, and the critical time is pretty much, they think, passing for the other horses. But now on top of all of this, he has to leave his horses and return home to Australia tomorrow because his visa has run out and he has to renew it. So at this time, I mean, you know how we always say everything happens at once. Well, for poor Dan, it's all happening at once. So he has to leave his horses with his help. And he gave them a great big shout out on his Facebook page, too. And you can find that at Dan James on Facebook if you want to follow along with that.
Speaking of Facebook, Glenn, if I may jump in here, I would like to thank the 8,700 listeners who posted on Facebook that Dave's Subways have drive-thrus. Oh, my God. I'm looking at Facebook for the first time in a while. Well, thank you. I understand that maybe some of you up north have drive-thrus. Maybe because you won't get out of your car because it's snowing so much when you want a sandwich. So that's probably why they have drive-thrus.
I was going to bring that up toward the end of the show.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were. But I would like to let everybody know, thanks for all the videos and the postings and the different Subways, blah, blah, blah.
You actually like Subway too, don't you?
Well, it's a vegetarian delight, okay?
Have you ever been to Chipotle Grill?
Oh, I love Chipotle. But that's the problem with these places is when you love Subway, like the reason I knew that it did not have a drive-thru is because no Subway, and I've been to a lot of Subways, no Subway I have ever been to has a drive-thru, and it irritates me because I know exactly what I want, the veggie sub, spinach, lettuce, tomato, onions, pickles, green peppers, some mayonnaise, light mayonnaise, extra mustard. I mean, what's the problem? Vinegar, no oil. Like, I don't get it. I know exactly what I want. I can tell you at the window, give you every detail, and they always make me go in. I always have to get out of my car, park, and go into the store. Wheat bread, by the way. 6-inch.
Let's give a shout-out also to a 19-year-old from Britain. And believe it or not, Laura Pryor Palmer, 19 years old, Jamie, was the first woman rider to ever win the Mongol Derby. And we've talked about the Mongol Derby here. Let's give her a clap. We've talked about the Mongol Derby here. It's a 1,000-kilometer race. It is one of the longest races in the world. It was 30 people entered this year, and they said less than half actually finished it. But now, it was a very exciting, very nerve-wracking end to this, and we also have to give a shout-out to Devin Horn of the United States, because Devin was the first one to cross the finish line, but his horse failed the veterinary inspection. So he came in an hour before Laura did, but his horse didn't pass the vet. Now, I don't get that. We're going to have to find out exactly how this works, because they're using they're not using their own horses. They're given horses. And apparently, they're not very well broke, because a lot of the riders got bucked off and had serious problems with some of these horses. So they're not very well broke at all. But why, you know, maybe it's just because they run them too hard. But if you don't know your horse, it's the first time on it, how would you know what its average heartbeat is and all that stuff, you know? I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to find out more.
I think that what they kind of look at is the fact that Devin Horn, I actually think he's a woman, came across the finish line an hour ahead of time, but should have used her horse a little better because the horse's heart rate did not drop in the amount of time that it's supposed to drop. So she must have galloped across the finish line or really pushed the horse when probably she should have been a little bit more conservative. Because, again, half the field didn't even make it past this, like, second day or something crazy. The 30 horses had withdrawn by the time the first riders reached the finish line. 30 horses didn't even finish, or they had already withdrawn by the time somebody already won.
Well, let me not embarrass Devin too much more. Devin is a very pretty girl from Huntsville, Texas. Found that out by looking her up on Facebook. So,
well, the horse's heart rate did not come down in the time allotted, so maybe Devin ran a little bit too hard and didn't use the horse the way it should have been used, or whatever. But I mean, whatever it is, they're all awesome, because this is like the toughest race in the world. Hidalgo on crack.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. I want to go over a little bit before we get to our next guest for the schedule for the week, because it's going to be a little bit different this week on Horses in the Morning. Tomorrow morning, we have our first monthly version. You know how we're changing Tuesdays and Thursdays to do some regular segments every month. Well, we have Karen Chatton, the endurance rider, with us, and she's doing the first of an endurance day here on Horses in the Morning. So we'll ask Karen about that. Maybe she can give us some insight to that. So we're talking endurance riding tomorrow, all day. Karen Chatton will be co-hosting. Wednesday, we're live as normal. Thursday, we're going to be live. Jamie will be here, and we're going to be live on Thursday doing a normal show. Friday, we are recorded because Jennifer and I are heading up to the American Equestrian Trade Association trade show, and then Monday, we'll be coming live from ADA. Regular listeners will know that twice a year we do live shows from the American Equestrian Trade Association to talk about all the new products that have come to the market and what is new out there that you'll be able to buy later on in the stores. So that is all.
Yeah, and I used to get to go, and I'm irritated because I used to get to go, and now I don't get to go anymore, and I don't get to buy all the deals.
Because
I can take the baby.
I don't want to change the diaper. I'm not changing diapers. I'm not doing it.
I'll be like, Glenn, hold him for a second.
Yeah. And see, that's why I didn't invite you, because I know that's what would happen. You would go, hey, Glenn, just hold him for a minute. I have to go look at this. And then 4 hours later, you would show up. I know you.
Hey, it's okay. I mean, I had some shopping to do, Glenn. What's the problem?
See, you would do that. I know you would do that to me. You would do that to me because you know I've actually held a baby before. You would never do that to Jennifer. You would never hand Jennifer your baby and say, here, I'll be right back. You would never do that because you know better.
Let me tell you, Glenn, that there is a large amount of horsewomen that I would not hand my baby to. It's not just your wife.
And she, by the way, she wouldn't let you, so it would be even. So anyway, congratulations to Laura Pryor Palmer. We're going to see if we can get her on the show and talk to her a little bit. How exciting for her. Well, let's move on to our next segment and our next guest. We have, normally, we have Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation here on Mondays with the Wacky World of Horses Report. But this week, Leslie said, why don't you get the author of the article you want to talk about on? Because she's a lot of fun. And her name is Lauren Nethery. Ah, let's find out from Lauren how you say that. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How do you say your last name?
Nethery.
Nethery. I got close. Very good.
Yes. Fairly simple, yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Lauren, before we get to your article, which I absolutely loved, by the way.
Well, thank you. In a nutshell, I train racehorses for a living. I've got some jump horses. Anything with four legs, I'll ride, really. Not all that picky. I do pentathlon and, just trying to kind of live in the dream. You know how it goes.
Yeah, well, great. Well, you wrote an article called Select Your Mate Like You Select Your Off-the-Track Thoroughbred. And this just sounded like the kind of article that was perfect for us to talk about here on the show. And what I want to do is you put 10 points down here, and I want to read the 10 points and then like the first sentence of each, because your writing is brilliant. And anybody that wants to read the rest of it can head on over to Horse Nation or Eventing Nation and find the rest of the article there. But I want to read it and then have you and Jamie talk about it, and we'll compare notes. I want to see how Jamie did in picking her husband, as how it related to her, as how it related to her picking her horses. Great. Now, are you married though, Lauren? Let me ask you.
I am not. I am strictly a reseller. I am not a forever home.
Well, that's perfect. Because Jamie was a reseller for a long time, so this worked out.
Yes, definitely.
All right, let's start.
That's awesome.
Here we go. This is this is called Select Your Mate Like You Select Your Off-the-Track Thoroughbred. Number one, only search for prospects from reputable sources and locations. If you're hunting at bottom-level claiming tracks, expect to have to deal with the sorts of problems that accompany long campaigns with mediocre riders and trainers. Prospects found at such locations almost always have soundness issues, stable vices, and behavioral problems.
That is really the first thing that everyone needs to keep in mind. You know, you're really likely to find kind of seedy individuals at those sorts of places. Whereas if you're looking at FEI events or A circuit jumper shows, or I particularly recommend polo matches, then you're much better off finding a really suitable prospect. Yeah, if you, and to take this to the human side, if you are at an actual claiming track, do not pick up the guys at claiming tracks.
Oh, no, like Thistledown in Cleveland, steer clear. Oh my God, I bought a horse from there once, but did not pick up a guy there.
I was up there just the other day, and it was all kind of scary. I can understand why people get, like, kidnapped and whatnot in Cleveland. I thought I was going to be a victim. It was very scary.
Girl, yeah, I thought I was going to die there. That's true. I've been there. And in Turf Paradise here in Arizona, you think sunny Arizona, beautiful people, beautiful weather. No, dude, don't go there. Don't go there.
I mean, it's mostly think of, like, hot, dry weather and dangerous, like, tarantulas and stuff when I think of Arizona, but beautiful people, too. I can see that.
We're L.A. of the East, okay? I mean, we've got
L.A. of the East. Please. I'm not sure about that, but I'll give an opportunity. I haven't personally been to Arizona, so I won't jump off the Arizona bandwagon just yet.
Google Scottsdale. You'll see it. You'll see it. Go ahead.
I will.
I love you, Lauren. You're doing great. Keep going. Keep picking on Jamie.
I hear that a lot, unfortunately. And guys show up, and they have these big, shiny rings. And I'm like, you know, this is just, no, I thought we talked about this. No.
Well, let's go to number two. Do judge a book by its cover. If it looks like a rat, it's probably a rat. Don't get sucked into the, ooh, goodness, with a little elbow grease, some mane pulling, and a few groceries, I bet this one would look so much better. There's lots of ponies in the paddock. Now, you were a DJ in Atlanta for a long time, Jamie, so I bet you got to see a lot of rats.
Yes, there are a lot of rats, and I love the fact that you can put this, Lauren, with the whole horse thing. You're like, oh, I can fix it. I can change
it. That's fine. No big deal.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, if you go into the situation, if you're in a situation attempting to change something is not going to end well.
Exactly. Number three, Glenn.
Bring accomplices for additional opinions, especially if you're in danger of being blind or in danger of being blinded by lust at first sight. I know you've always wanted a 17-hand one with blonde hair and blue eyes. We all have. There's safety in numbers. Pick one or two of your most discerning friends to accompany on all prospect searching endeavors.
You got to have your people. You got to have your girls with you, for sure. Horses and men.
Oh, absolutely. And you might want to, you know, when looking for the two-legged kind of prospect, it is sort of my recommendation that depending on, you know, how serious you are, perhaps you bring some of your less adorable friends with you if you really think you might find a good prospect. So you don't want competition. You just want additional opinions.
That's genius. You be the hot one is what you're saying. Be the hot one.
Lauren, yeah, I hope definitely. Your friends aren't listening, because the next time you ask some of them to go along, they're not going. Just saying.
I don't have any unattractive friends. That's the problem.
Your wingmen are all good-looking. Okay, that's good.
They are. All my wingmen and women, all reasonably attractive. It's a Kentucky thing. Not Arizona so much, but
good,
Kentucky, I think.
Good catch there, Lauren. Good catch. Think outside the box.
What's with bagging on Arizona? What I do?
I guess it's an East Coast thing, I think. I'm just sort of anti-West Coast. I don't know.
I'm from the East Coast. I'm stuck out here from the military, okay? So give me a break.
Because of the guy she bagged. Because of the guy she bagged.
True. See, if you find the ones that sort of seem to be migratory, you don't want migratory prospects. No. Stationary prospects, much preferable.
Number four, think outside the box. Take a minute to think about the best performers in all of the FEI disciplines. They come in all shapes and sizes and from many diverse backgrounds, training programs, and bloodlines. If you're dead set on a 17-bay thoroughbred gelding to take the pony finals, you're only going to be disappointed. Strike a delicate balance between high standards and broad horizons. Don't we all do that, though?
Do you think? We try. Sometimes, you know, you have to really see the potential in a horse, though, or in a prospect, two-legged or four-legged, that, you know, it might be in a different discipline than you're used to, or that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, I really wasn't going for a Hackney when I got this pony, but, you know, it just, that's the way it happened, you know?
You can't help who you fall in love with, Glenn. You just can't help it.
That's true.
I don't know about that. I beg to differ. But, you know, when you're really making an analytical decision to be prospect hunting, then I think you can help it like a little tiny bit, maybe.
Number five, ask about taking a prospect on trial. You would be surprised how often trial is a viable option. The last thing you want as a prospective buyer is to be stuck with a completely unsuitable mount for months or years on end. Well, now, a lot of parents would argue about this with their teenage girls. Just saying.
About this. No, you trial true. Periods.
No, I meant.
Trial periods are so important.
I get that with a horse, but with your daughter dating, it depends what the trial involves and how extensive the trial is. I'm just saying.
You know what? It costs you money.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want your daughter to try it out and make sure that it fits before she marries it?
It depends on how long the baseball game is and how many bases are involved, I think, if I'm a father. You know,
it certainly adds to a number of bases, but it is much better for them to go to the baseball game to begin with than just hit a home run and end up on 16 and pregnant. That's no good either. Exactly.
Number six, think about retraining possibilities. While many people are often myopic in their approach when it comes to searching for a prospect, don't be afraid to look beyond your chosen discipline to find your next upper level mount.
What do you think, Jimmy?
That's hard to do. It's like you got to get out of your own box, but that's tough. You know, when you're looking for something that listen, here's the deal. My mama used to tell me that it is just as easy to fall in love with a poor man as it is a rich man. So fall in love with a rich man right off the bat.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. Skip the poor guy.
Yeah, skip right over the poor guy. And if you're in, like, I don't know, kingpinning or barrel racing, you know, it may be imperative to sort of look outside those disciplines to rich jumper and dressage discipline type guys and, you know, give them an opportunity as well.
Just know that if you are checking out a dressage guy, you're going to have to go to dressage shows.
Yeah,
and who wants to do that? And
keep that in mind. Now, Jamie, though, when you were in Atlanta, doing your thing in Atlanta and in the horse thing, you never, ever thought you'd marry an Air Force pilot, right?
Oh, my, I didn't even. When I met Chad, he said he's in the Air Force. And I said, so you're a pilot. And he's like, how did you know? And I was like, well, you're in the Air Force. Isn't everybody in the Air Force a pilot? Like, that's how little I knew about the military.
Just assumed if you're in the Air Force, you must fly planes.
That's right.
You fly planes. If you're in the Navy, you're on a boat. You know, that's kind of the signaler.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, you passed one. You did look outside. You looked outside your discipline, that's for sure, to end up with Chad.
I did. It may require getting some different tack and or apparel. But whatever you got to do to sort of attract the right prospect.
And she has. She's had to
you
dress
know
up for...
You know what's funny, Lauren? I totally get this idea. Get a new tag, get a pair, look outside your discipline. And I get it for the male-female world. I get it that, you know, sometimes to meet guys, we have to look outside of our little, you know, our little world here. However, I would not do that with a horse.
I don't know. The first horse I ever invented was a little 15-hand, like, barrel Western horse kind of thing, and I'm pretty sure I did my first event in a 1-year trial.
No kidding.
Whatever you got to do, it works. You went around beginner novice, and happily ever after.
There you go. Well, it worked for you.
Well, the next one, Jamie, you passed. I'm giving you an A on this one. I'm giving you both an A on this one. Scrutinize bloodlines. While breeding alone does not make an elite mount, it certainly helps, especially if you plan on using said mount in your personal breeding program at a later date. Jamie, you two did very well. You picked a good breeding prospect, and you came out with one cute baby about a month ago. So congratulations on that.
I did.
You did well on that one.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Picked a good-looking Air Force guy.
I'll scrutinize bloodlines for him. I want no part of breeding horses. I don't want any part of that, as you guys know.
Everything I ride four-legged should probably be gelded. Everything I am acquainted with two-legged, maybe also. We have no human breeding here. Negatory.
I'm done with mine too, girl.
Well, you know, my wife and I have been married 25 years, and we went that route too. So we're with you right on that one.
Good.
Number eight, make a short list and then compare. Once you have a good feel that most of the most eligible individuals in the herd and have established that two or three hold significant progress in elite mounts. Compare them to each other. Well, now, that's hard to do in the human world at the same time.
You would be surprised. Like, polo teams, for instance, typically have four members. One of those members is the patron, which is usually rich and married. The other three are possibly womanizing, but all attractive, and side-by-side comparison is readily available.
Yeah, you know what? I'm loving your polo thing because I'm sorry. I think that when you sign up to be a polo player, they actually make you be good-looking. Like, you have to be good-looking to be a polo player.
They do. You must be, like, over 6 feet tall, come from a rich family, and
dark
have the body
skinned
of a Greek god. Like,
they all,
no way.
Yeah. And they'll have to be dark-skinned
with good
tans.
Yeah, Argentinian or Dominican, one of the two.
Yeah.
Argentinian, oh, my God. They're just all hot. Nacho Figueroa's here. I come. Watch out.
Joe Lauren King. Yeah, I wish. I have only recently become acquainted with the polo around. That's sort of, that was the catalyst for this whole thing, which I'm just going to hope that people that listen to the show that I know, they probably do. But I had a horse and training that needed to go run in Pennsylvania, and they said, oh, our son's going to come, the owner said, oh, our son is going to come watch her breed if that's okay before she leaves. Yeah, that's fine, you know. I'm envisioning like some geeky kid that these guys own. I don't even know them. I've never met them. And I go into my shedder and there's this 6'5", tall, dark, and handsome Dominican polo player, and the rest is a little bit history. Now I ride polo horses. Who knew?
Genius.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, the polo mallets that they wield are impressive in many ways.
Okay, on that note, number nine, vet extensively, which apparently is what Lauren did. Now is the time to cross all of your T's and dot all of your I's. Just when you think you can begin to hear faint strains of harp music and angelic voices, a thorough vetting can ensure no skeletons exist in your chosen prospect stall. And when we're talking about the human side, Google is a godsend for vetting.
Oh, Google and Facebook for sure.
Yes. Yes. What did we do with that before then? We had no idea who we were marrying.
No, when I first, it's the fine line, though.
It is. Well, when I first met Chad, here's the thing is they know we're doing it, girls. Every guy knows we're going to go home and Google him. When I first met my husband, now husband, he told me his name when we met, but he didn't tell me his last name. He just told me his first name. He was like, my name is Chad. And so we exchanged numbers, and as I'm leaving, I text him. I'm like, what is your first and last name? And he texted me back, Chad Google Jennings.
So busted. Well, I have a lovely client, Jenny Kay, that's had horses with me forever, and her coworker, he had introduced him to me, sort of a blind date kind of thing, and he wanted to hook up, and he was texting me back and forth, like, we should go to coffee, and then he starts texting me about, oh, I found your articles on Eventing Nation, and oh, you did the Dabble, you do this, and you do that, and, like, telling me more about myself than I knew, I think. Very serious.
Reaper.
Run. Run. Far away.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, aren't you an idiot if you don't nowadays?
You really are, though. I mean, you know, you see those busted.com mugshots. Those are helpful to weed them out.
That's true. But I think guys are an idiot, too, if they don't do it. I think it goes both ways.
Yeah, but if you're going to Google, don't quote my life back to me. Google,
that's true.
Yeah. Google me kind of like on the sly, you know, and maybe use that as something to talk to me about.
Yeah, and, you know, you can bring it up sort of like, oh, do you do any sports? Or, oh, can you go on? Really? That's cool. I've heard about that because you Googled me kind of thing. Don't be.
So I saw your pictures and you look really hot in riding breeches. Isn't good?
It's a toss-up. If you Google my name, a bunch of pictures of me shooting and stabbing people come up. And so that's usually sort of a conversation. And I tend to be wearing tight pants and all of those things.
I am now Googling you.
Yes,
right
me too. I'm actually going to do
it. It is entertaining, for sure. The image search, it's entertaining.
Make up your mind and take action. Number 10, the final one. Last but not least, do not vacillate forever on the right time to buy. Time and again, I hear sob stories about how the perfect mount was whisked away to a fellow competitor's barn. I got news for you. That happens even after marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. I just try to avoid that.
It's so true, though. If you're ready to buy, buy it. Go for it.
If it happens after marriage, I feel like there's some sort of buyback contract that should be enacted, perhaps. Like, don't know how that works, but I don't plan to find out.
It's called prenup.
Yeah, prenup.
Yes, that.
Well, this was great. You're a good writer. If you want to hear, if you want to read the rest, I just read the first sentence of all of these. If you want to read the rest of it, head over to Eventing Nation, and you have a bunch of articles over there, right?
Oh, yes, mostly off-track thoroughbred articles. It's sort of my first kind of humorous one, but Horse Nation has a bunch of top 10 lists. I tend to do those for Leslie quite often.
Oh, good. Well, very good. Well, it was good to have you on. We hope to have you back again. Thank you, Lauren.
Absolutely. Great to meet you guys. Have
all
a great
right.
day.
Take care.
Bye, Lauren.
Well, she kept up with us. That wasn't a problem.
No. Yeah. I love her articles, actually, when she writes about off-the-track thoroughbreds and kind of how to retrain them. And they're actually, she's actually very informative, not even just on the man thing. It's actually, she's informative in the actual training ability, too.
I got to say, I have to confess here a little bit. If I went out on a date with her, she would scare me to death. I'd be scared to death.
I was thinking of that 6'5" polo player. Doesn't know what he's up against.
That's right, exactly. That's what I was thinking too. Hey, I got to give a shout out too. I should have done it as a Daily Winnie earlier in the show, but I'm going to do it now. When we first started the show, we had a regular guest on by the name of Mandy Widrick, who did our tech updates. Remember, she would come on and do tech updates and talk to us about Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. Well, Mandy just got married over the weekend. She had a horsey wedding, and she got married to a guy by the name of Tim Flanders, who she calls Flanders. That's what she calls him. But she got married over the weekend. Congratulations to the happy couple, and I wish them the best of luck.
Good. Congrats to her. That's awesome.
Yep. She was very excited about it and looked beautiful. I saw
and
some
when
of
you say she. When you say she had a horsey wedding, what does that mean?
All I know is that I saw pictures of a horse. They're standing by a paint horse and with her wedding gown on and stuff. I don't know if she rode in on one. I don't know the details.
We'll have to get her on the show to talk about it if she had a horsey wedding. Because, I mean, who doesn't want to have a horsey wedding? Women love a good wedding story. That's all I'm going to say.
Now, you got married on the beach. What, did you ride up on a horse on the beach?
Yeah, no, not so much. No. They wouldn't allow that on the beach. Plus, I got married in Florida, and I was living in Arizona, so it would have been very expensive to ship the horse across the country, but no, we did not.
We've been to one horsey wedding. We went. One of the kids that grew up in our barn had a horsey wedding and, you know, came riding around. There was a lake there at the property, and she came riding around the lake on her horse, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was very pretty.
Yeah, I get to be, I was a bridesmaid in a wedding where I was there were three of us bridesmaids and we were on horses. And so we stood on horses while the bride and groom were on the ground. So it was really, really cool. And after they said, you know, you're now married, we started galloping around the field, like in circles around everybody. It was awesome. I'll never forget that.
That's funny. Doing victory lap.
Doing victory gallops afterwards. Yeah.
Well, now are you back?
I have a picture of that somewhere.
Are you back to riding again? You back to getting in the saddle every day?
Well, I already competed, Glenn. Yes, I am back in the tack. I'm really sore, actually, because I rode two horses yesterday. Sundays, Chad can watch the kid while I go out and ride the horse. And he's decided, as most good horse husbands do, that it is better to sit inside with a crying child and a screaming, crying child than to have your wife not ride her horse. Because he's like, you're just nicer when you've ridden. Like, thanks, son.
Well, that's true. Us horse husbands learn that very quickly. It's like, go out and ride. Go ride today. I had to do that to Jennifer last week.
Yeah.
She was being workaholic last week. And I had to say, Jennifer, go ride today. I don't care if you don't get your work done. Go ride today. And all of a sudden,
I heard that yesterday.
Yeah. Were you better after? You were all happy again?
I'm much nicer. Chad, I was just telling him how you make me go ride. You say I'm better if I've ridden. He just walked in with the baby, so he must have been listening in the other room.
Well, let's do this. Let me just go over real quick again, schedule for the week, in case you missed it earlier. Tomorrow, we are live with Karen Chatton with our first of a regular monthly segment. We're going to be talking about endurance riding tomorrow. And I know there's some of our listeners are looking. Robert, I know, said he was looking forward to it because he wanted to get into endurance. And we're going to be talking, we're going to be doing some tips. We're going to talk about how to get into endurance riding. So if you're looking to begin it, we're going to have guests on about that. She's going to be talking about the equipment. We're going to be talking, because their equipment is a little bit different. They have a lot of things they have to think about, like how not to get butt chafing after riding for 18 hours in a saddle. So there's all these little tips and tricks that they have, and we're going to be going over those with Karen. Karen is one of the premier bloggers in the world of endurance. She writes a blog that everybody in endurance reads, and we're very fortunate. She's been a guest on the show. She's been terrific, and we're very fortunate to have her joining us once a month. And then on Wednesday, we're here with the wheel. Thursday, we're going to be live. So join us on Thursday. Jamie will be here on Thursday, and we'll be live. Friday is recorded. Friday is recorded.
I'm going to try, Glenn. Oh. I'm going to try to get my super secret special guest
you keep
on
Thursday.
You've
been
Thursday.
Saying that for a month. I don't think there's anybody.
I'm going to try. I can't say too much, but it's going to be awesome if it happens. So Thursday at 10 o'clock, we plan on having a super secret awesome guest on.
But you know,
that's all
I know
I can
it's,
say.
This is getting me excited now because I know how hard it is to get Carrie Underwood for an interview. So I'm getting more and
she's
more excited.
She's just so busy. How did you know?
I'm so excited. I have to get all my Carrie Underwood music ready. Now, Carrie Underwood, you know, you have those that you say you're going to be tongue-tied for. I think Carrie Underwood I'd be kind of tongue-tied for. It'd be your interview. I'd have to just
sit
here and drool.
I'm going to tell you what, Glenn, that my friend, you have nothing to worry about. You won't be tongue-tied on Thursday morning. Because it's not Carrie Underwood. Sorry.
Darn it. Oh, that teasing for nothing. Hey, one other thing. And this is very, very important, and I'm very excited. We'll talk more about it in the coming days ahead. But on Wednesday, we have a brand new show coming out on the network, and it is the first one this year, actually. And it's Blaze Kids Radio. The Blaze magazine for horse crazy kids has been around for 10 years. It's the premier magazine for kids in the horse world. And they are starting their own show on the Horse Radio Network. The first one's coming out here on Wednesday. And it is it's a fun little show. It's going to be about a half an hour twice a month. And it is hosted by the publisher, Jeff, who's a fun guy who has kids. His kids talked him into doing the magazine all those years ago. He's a fun guy. And it's also hosted by a 12-year-old girl by the name of Jessica. Jessica is also the co-host of the show, and it's just a lot of fun, very short interviews, stories, jokes. It's made for the 8 to 12 to 13-year-old set, and we did record the first interview. I think it came out terrific. We're putting a lot of music in it and sound effects. It is very kid and very much fun. So I think adults will enjoy it, too. And they did a great job with, you know, how intimidating is it, you know, how nervous were we when we did the live show for the first time? And when you do a show for the first time, but imagine if you're a 12-year-old kid doing a radio show for the first time. She did terrific. She was great.
Now, who is she? Because I remember you putting out on Facebook you were looking for a host, which is how you found me. So obviously it works. So did you find...
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about this 12-year-old.
Yeah, she actually responded off the Facebook ad. And then Jeff from Blaze interviewed her and talked to her and said, I think she'll be a great little co-host. She's very articulate, apparently a little bit of a bookworm, has loved horses since she was, you know, been riding for like 6 years. Never owned her own horse until yesterday. Her mother said, well, if you're going to start you with a horse, we're going to start you small. So her first horse is a three-month-old mini. A little mini foal. And you can find the picture I posted on Facebook that of Jasper. And I said, you'll start hearing more about this little mini is the one we're talking about. That was her first little mini foal. And she just got it yesterday. And there's pictures of her with it. And it's so cute. Yeah. So you can look forward to that. I think, as I said, I think, I think adults will like this show too. It is a lot of fun. They have a lot of kids involved in doing different segments of the show. There's a storyteller that's 14 years old that did a terrific, as good as you did. she told this story, and it was a terrific story, and she did a great job reading it. So it's just a lot of fun. I can't say enough good things about it. I'm very excited about it. It's our first kids show on the network. Blaze Kids Radio, coming soon.
That's awesome. I'll have to listen. Maybe that's actually one show I'll listen to on the station, because I'll be able to follow it.
You'll be able to understand it. You'll be fine.
Exactly.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. You can listen to all the past shows on the Horse Radio Network. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and also download the app. Tons of people are. Go to the Android App Store or the iPhone App Store. Download the app. Just search for Horse Radio Network. It's free. It's very easy to use, and it's the best way to listen to our programs. We'll be back here tomorrow morning live with our endurance show. Thank you so much, Jamie. You go see your baby.
I will, and everybody spay, neuter, and geld.
Give them a hug for us,
see,
okay?
See, everything's better gelded. Oh, thank you. I will.
The baby's a little too young to do that, okay? It's not like horses, I'm just saying.
Everything except for the men in my house.